Well, this morning we're going to begin to look into the areas of being led by the Spirit. We're talking about the Spirit of seeing and knowing, but one of the things we have is we're going to follow God or whatever God wants to do. We're going to have to be led by the Spirit of God. I mean, that's a must. There's no other way to do it. There's no other way than to be led by the Spirit of God. We're going to talk about things because it is important to know the Word of God. We're going to find out some things about that. But being led by the Spirit, there is a, most people think about being led out of the Spirit when they talk about that like it's some kind of like woo-woo, way out there thing, and it's not. It should be normal for a Christian to be led by the Spirit of God. God didn't set up a practice of things that was something difficult or hard to do. What is hard for people is people don't renew their mind to it. And you got to renew your mind and change the way that you that's the way that you think. Is when the Lord told me back in 1980, in February 1980, and said to me, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you'll amount to nothing as a Christian. Now think about that. If there's such a great demand to be able to do that, it must be feasible. You must be able to do it. And he said it to me as a baby Christian. Now was he demanding something to me that is hugely difficult? Well, it couldn't be. Or how could you say to a baby Christian that they have to do that? And we need to know this in our approach to this because, you know, people get out. Being led by the Spirit is not some spooky thing. It's not some weird and crazy thing. It is absolutely a completely normal thing for us as Christians. It's one of the things is us to begin to change about things about how we think. This is one of the things that is really important. It's one of the things that the Lord has really been dealing with me a lot because Christianity is always, you know, talked about, well, you know, God lives in us, God lives in us. But we need to deal with that because most people make that statement, but it is from their mind. It isn't from their heart. It's nothing but something that is in their brain, but it isn't something they live or think is so. You know, is in the church world, I've had over and over and over again, and you hear these statements. People come along and say, yes, you know, I believe Jesus lives in me. And then they'll say things like, you know, well, you're just going to sin. You know, you're in this earth, you're just going to sin. Well, I know that person don't believe Jesus lives in them. It's nothing but a head thing. See, we have these cliches and things that we say in Christianity, but they're not belief system. It's not a belief system. You got to come to where you believe that that's true. Because, you know, the Bible says, tells us, you know, just think that concerning sin, you know, that Jesus freed us from sin. We've been freed from the power of sin. Well, if I'm just going to sin, well, then I'm not freed from the power of sin. If I'm just going to sin. But see, you know, there's one thing of it is, to the measure that you believe things, that's what you're going to live. Now, I'm talking about what you believe in your heart. I don't care what you say with your mouth. People, Christians make a lot of cliche sayings, and they're true, but they are no more cliche. That's all they are. They're not principles that they follow that's really in their heart. And there's things, principles you need to get into your spirit. And I'll tell you, well, they'll revolutionize and change your life. You must come to the place where you believe that God literally lives in you. Not something that is a statement made. God lives in you. I just came to this conclusion when I was a young Christian. If God lives in me, I'm sure going to know about it if somebody's living in me. The reason most Christians don't come into contact with God in them because they don't have a belief, really, of God being in them, so they don't come in contact with it. They just make statements. They say, yeah, Jesus is in my heart. Now look, if the church world really believed that, do you think the church would be as squirrely as it is? I can tell because they'll go and pray and act like God ain't in town and they're trying to reach him and he's a million miles out there in space somewhere and they're trying to get a signal to him. You know, I hear ministers say, oh, we're praying, it's like the heavens are brass. God ain't in heaven, he's in Ed. If you want to come and meet him, come and see me. I'll introduce you. But see, people don't live in that. We say sayings and we make sayings. We got to become more than that because it's the power of what we say. When it's from our heart and we have a belief in it, folks, It is huge. The earth, our earth as we know it, the physical earth and all and the stars and all that, were created by words spoken from a God who is a spirit. Jesus comes along and he says to these disciples, he said, you guys, they say, hey, the tree you spoke, it dried up by the roots. And Jesus said, ain't no big deal. He said, if you say to this mountain, he's standing on the Mount of Olives. He said, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, you doubt not in your heart. It's going to happen, boys. Now, I know that 99% of Christians don't believe that. I doubt if a lot of the spirit-filled people really believe that. And I know that they don't because of the way they teach it. They'll always say, well, he's not talking about real mountains. He's talking about the mountains in your life. I'm sorry, Jesus was standing on a mountain when he said that. You see, we limit. We always add to, we're always throwing things onto what Jesus said. He didn't really mean it that way. No, he didn't mean it. No. Because see, it's outside of my imagination and I have no faith to believe it and I'm going to keep confessing it's wrong. You see, we got to come over to where we get things inside of our heart till we get our heart, because the great power of God moves in a believer by believing in your heart and saying it with your mouth. We were just out the meetings. I was out in Branson. One of the things Randall Greer made this statement the first night he got up. He said, the Lord's been speaking to me this all this afternoon. And he said this, you got to decree it to see it. You got to decree it to see it. Now understand this from the scripture. The scripture tells us we got to say it. See, you can believe things. In fact, back in, I think it was around in 1948, I think it was, when Jesus told Kenneth Hagin to go teach my people faith. Because they didn't really teach faith back, you know, up to that time. You know, there had been a lot of decades went past and faith really wasn't taught. It's like today, I find most Christians don't know what faith is. They talk about faith. Well, what's faith? And they'll give you synonyms for the word. They'll say, oh, it means to trust. Well, how do I trust God? Telling me to trust, well, how do I do it? I hear people all the time tell me they're trusting God, and that's the last thing they're doing. They ain't trusting God at all. They just think if they throw a word out, it's going to make something happen. It's getting over to where, well, what am I doing when I trust God? How do I do it? Well, we need to come over this thing. It's like he said, decree a thing. You get something into your heart that you don't doubt. Now, you need to understand this. This works for following God or not following God. And we have proof of it in Scripture. What did God do back there on the Tower of Babel? He said concerning those people, it says he looked in the earth and he said, there's nothing that will be withheld from them that they can't do. Were they down there worshiping God? Were they down there having a great time following Jehovah? No. So what did God do to mess it up for them? He changed languages so they couldn't agree. You'd think in the church world that's what God did. Because the church don't agree on nothing. Folks, it's good preaching. What did he do? He confounded their language so they couldn't speak same things. Because why? The power of speech. The power of speech. That's what he did. He confounded their language and messed their whole system up. Why? He's trying to stop them from the evil gaining ground in the earth. And the church is at war over all this confession stuff and not having confession. Anybody that don't agree with the confession thing is in opposition to God. Direct opposition to God. It's his system. He's designed you. I want you to think about this. In Old Testament, if they believed in their heart and they said with their mouth, it would come to pass. Now think what he did in the New Testament. The New Testament is, we're under a covenant. You're born again. Now you have a spirit that has the nature of God in it. What happens if I believe the word and say it? The devil has fought to keep Christians religious, to keep us over where we don't want to ask for too much. I don't want to be selfish. I don't want to be selfish. I don't want to be covetous. I don't have to be either. I'm not in love with money. I got a lot of things I want to do with it. I'll tell you what. The Lord spoke to me 2014 and commended me. He said, I can trust you with money. Well, over time we proved ourselves. See, it's number one, there's a lot of things with God you're going to have to prove yourself. You're going to have to prove yourself over time. You prove yourself with things. And he said, you've proved yourself. He said, I can trust you with money. He said, I can put a lot of money into your hands. Why? Because I was faithful when I had a little bit. Christians, you need to understand this. If you're not faithful with a little bit, forget about the big stuff. It'll never happen. See, Wanda and I, we were givers when we didn't have much, but I'll tell you what, we were on God's side and we were after with God. I've heard people say, boy, when I get money, then I'm going to really do this. Forget it. You're going to have to rob a bank to get it. You're going to have to do something like that because you ain't going to have it no other way. You're going to have to cheat, lie, and steal or do something to get it. Or you're going to have to work and forget God and just work 7, you know, days a week and do whatever you got to do to get your money. That's what you're going to have to do. See, it's a matter of faithfulness. If you're faithful with little, he'll make you ruler over much. Is God going to make you a ruler over anything of any stuff if you're not faithful with little things? He's not going to. See, there's principles laid down in the kingdom. Wanda and I learned to be faithful with little stuff. Not only just money, but we were faithful. Whatever we could understand or do is scripture. When we only had a little, I'll tell you, when we only knew a little bit about believing the Bible for things or stuff to do, we just set ourselves to do it. We were faithful with a little bit. So you need to understand these principles. But God put us in the church. God devised a system of being born again. This born again system is a phenomenal system. And it's designed for you to be able, now just think, you have perfect soil to put the word of God into. Your spirit is created after the likeness and image of God. It is the perfect place to take the seed of the word of God and put it in there. Think of this. In the Old Testament, they didn't have that. They had the nature of sin. Yet they could produce things. They could get it in there and they could produce things by believing in their heart. But the church today, we have the perfect soil. Perfect. Our spirit is designed to take God's word and produce it. And the Bible tells us how we do that. We get the word in our heart to where we believe what the word says without a doubt. You believe without doubt. Now, Jesus said that. If you want the mountain to move, you're going to have to believe and not doubt in your heart. So I found this out over time, and you're going to learn this. And look, this has to do with being led by the Spirit of God. You're going to have to come to the place and learn to be patient and build the word of God into you. And don't go around making a ton of confessions and all kind of stuff when you have no ability to bring it to pass. There's nothing in you to do it. You got to come to the place where you get the word into you so where you can begin to really speak by faith and no doubt. Now, not your head. Your head will fight you. You know, the natural. And that's where most people live. You got to learn to differentiate what's going on in the inside of you and what's going on the outside of you. There's one thing as it is. It's just like, you know, the other week here when I was in the hospital there and I was in the ER and I was sitting there. And I'll tell you, my body was yelling a lot, you know. It was very noisy. My body is making all kind of noise. I can differentiate between what's going on in my spirit and what's going on in my body. And I sat there and I tuned to the inside because I wanted to hear what God was saying. God didn't speak in some loud voice. God didn't say something to try to override my flesh. I heard a still small voice down on the inside of me that said, don't be concerned about anything. Everything is going to be all right. Those words were spoken and they were just quiet. But see, I stopped. I started listening to the inside. My body's yelling, but I can still look on the inside. The inner man, I can look to the inner man on the inside, the real man. What do you want to hear? See, most people, they only ever hear the loudest voice. Whatever's the loudest or makes the most commotion. We're Americans. The squeaky wheel gets all the oil. But understand that. Most of you practice that in your life. So don't be surprised that somebody else does that. We do it with our own flesh. If our own flesh starts going over into things, you let people, watch people get into a panic. You let people get into the idea that they think they're going to die or something and watch how they act. They'll go right over and get in the flesh real quick. They'll want God, but they're going to move most always to the flesh. They're going to let the noise of the flesh and the fear of the flesh run the show. You got to learn not to do that. The way you do that is learning to take the Word of God and get it into your heart. You work at that. Man, if I look back over it, the years that I spent concerning the Word of getting things into me to believe them, to get them into me, is to take the Word is true. Once I came to the place that I believe the Word's true, I just came to the place I wouldn't let anything change that or any situation change that. I wouldn't let nothing move to make that any different. Once I believed what it said. And see, I found this out. If you want to hear from God, you're going to have to move in line with the Word. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And we want to look at that from a scriptural standpoint. It's the Holy Spirit being in you. Now, we talked the last time in teaching, which we talked about being a spirit being, and I had you make a confession that I'm a spirit being. So number one, you're a spirit being. That needs to become a reality to you. You have to change the way that you think about yourself. Because if you don't, if your outer man is what you look at basically is you, there's number one. The outer man, the scripture tells us in Romans 8, that outer man, the flesh, is dead in sin. You're always going to be in condemnation if the outer man is your principal guy. If you're outer man, you're always going to talk about your weaknesses, your failures, your inabilities. Remember this, your inner man don't have all that. It don't have all that baggage. It doesn't have all that junk. It's eternal. It has the life of God in it. Last time did you check your flesh? How much life of God was working? Well, now the life of God can work in it, but if you want to, it comes from your spirit, not from your body. It doesn't come from the outer man. It comes from the inner man. And this is where you want to operate, is out of the inner man. Right here today, there's things that you have in your inner man, but your inner man can't really bring it out as much as he'd like to because of the voice of your outer man. Your outer man's talk too much. Your outer man, you give him too much leeway from the standpoint of how he feels, what he thinks about a situation, what makes him afraid. I found this out. My inner man has no fear whatsoever. There is no fear in my inner man. I have zero fear of death. The Bible says God didn't give me a spirit of fear. Where'd you get yours at? Well, you don't either, but you listen to your flesh and your flesh is afraid. So you listen to it. So when you pray to God to protect you, you're praying most of the time in unbelief, thinking something's going to get you. So you got to pray so it don't get you. You don't pray and say, praise God, ain't nothing going to harm me. No. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, protect me. Lots of times we have nothing. Folks, this is good. This is good teaching. We're talking about being led by the Spirit. But see, you can't be led by the Spirit and you're not in contact with your inner man, who you are. See, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. You don't have that. Is your inner man afraid of death? Well, no, he's not. There's not fear. Now, you could pump fear into it if you want to. But your inner man, your inner man's a, the Bible talks about being at peace. Peace is about something that's on the inside. If you want to have peace, you got to get to the inside. You aren't going to have peace on the outside. There ain't no peace on the outside. Jesus said himself, in the world there's tribulation. In the world there's trouble. See, there's the outer man is out here touching all this junk. See, what we see, with the news and all the stuff. The outer man's touching at that. Now, we're not denying that stuff isn't true. But you know what? I deny living to that. I don't have to live after that. Even though it's true naturally, it doesn't have the last say. What has the last say is what's on the inside. This gets the last say. This is the, on the inside where the mountains can be removed. This is on the inside where the things we see can be changed. This is where, see, you can't, by the flesh, you can't change what goes on the outside. You're just going to reinforce it. If you let the flesh rule, he'll reinforce what you don't like. The flesh will get afraid and he'll reinforce. Do you ever notice that? Your fears, the flesh will just keep reinforcing. And if you talk your fears, man, you make your flesh strong. You really get afraid. Talking the fears of things. Talking the fears. See, this is one thing is I'm not quick to, you know, if something happens to me, to go call a bunch of people and ask them to pray. When people talk to me, everything's all right. Why? I don't want to get anybody over. As number one, I don't want to get anybody else, them get afraid. I want other people to get afraid. I ain't afraid. And see, we need to understand that is about things. This is why we need to become as Christians. When somebody comes to us to pray, we don't jump into the negative. Most Christians do. They jump right into the negative. They hear there's a problem, and then they start thinking, they don't think immediately, well, praise God, God will heal that. Let's get with the program on that. No, they'll talk about the problem, and, well, what did the doctor say? You get into all that stuff. You see, with me, that's why I don't say stuff to people, because I don't want them asking me what the doctor said. Christians, I'll be, well, what did God say about it? Well, we ain't heard from God, so the only thing I heard from was the devil. And so, what do you want him, tell me what he said? And it seems people like to do that. There is a gravitation of the flesh to like bad news. Did you ever notice that? How many times have you ever, dealing with the Christians, have you ever come along as a problem and if you said to the person, what did God say, they'll look at you like, what planet are you on? Well, hey, we have to deal with ourselves in this kind of stuff. Why don't we do that? Why don't we just jump over? What did God say about this? You know? No. No, the doctor or somebody else has said something. And we say, well, I'm believing God, but I'm quoting the doctor constantly. Might as well laugh, folks. When somebody asks me, I quote them the doctor. How's it going with you? I don't want to be asking. I mean, I don't sit and try to tell the doctor every little bad news thing that I want to, you know. But people do. People just want to get over and they want to, you know, and then they'll say, well, I'm trusting God. See, we need to be able to differentiate this. This is not scolding anybody. You need to learn this or you'll have problems in the areas for your faith won't work. It won't work. See, we have a lot of mixture of things. We got a lot of mixture of stuff and we call it faith, but it's not what the Bible calls faith. It's not what the Bible says about things. Is our response to things. I mean, the most foreign thing that was ever from my mind is when I went to the hospital that I was going to die. My God, that was the last thing on it. When they told me that I had a blood clot in my lung, I just had a smile. I thought, my God, here I am alive. I got a blood clot in my lung. Randy Greer, he had a blood clot in his leg and the doctors told him this. And Randy said about it. Randy said, yeah, because I was talking to Randy about this. And Randy said, the doctor told me, he said, if that blood clot moves up to your lung, he said, it's just like taking a .38 and put it to your head and pulling the trigger because he said, you'll be dead that quick. That's what his doctor told him. And here I stand. The gun must have missed fire. I just something happened to the gun. Well, and see, it's what's on the end. This is the whole thing, you know. Wanda and I are in the hospital. We're moving in a direction of faith. I'm not doing what other people do. She wasn't doing what other people do. It wasn't, hurry up and call people. Pastor's got to, let's get everybody. The reaction, you need to be careful. Many times people are doing that in fear and not in, they're not asking people to pray by faith. They're afraid they're going to die. So they call, hurry, somebody else pray and get me out of this mess. You can't do that kind of stuff. Your motive in what you're doing is going, you're going to have outcome. If your words come out of your mouth in fear, it's going to produce something. It's going to produce things. See, we need to understand these things and get them. That's why you want to get things built into you. I mean, just think about it. Did God put the Holy Spirit in you so he could kill you? Did he put him in? No, think about it. What's the Holy Spirit in us? The Holy Spirit inside of us. And this is the thing to come to. We use this scripture. But I want to read it from Romans 8 and verse 10 says, listen, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, well, does it? Yes. You're born again. It is in you. Each one of us here today, the holy same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. We were singing about resurrection this morning. Now I want you to think about this. That spirit that lives in you is the same one that raised Jesus from the dead. Now, I want you to think about this. That spirit didn't just raise his physical body. That wasn't the biggie. The biggie was not his physical body coming back from the dead. My God, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead before that. It was he went from spiritual death to spiritual life. Jesus died spiritually, just like with us. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. You're not a cleaned up sinner. Get that nonsense out of your head, those stupid things they did to us when we were kids, and they put those dumb pictures of a heart and then showed you one that was dirty and then one that was clean and said Jesus washed you up. That's the biggest lie to keep you over thinking you're just an old sinner cleaned up. You're not an old sinner cleaned up. You're a new creation. In fact, some translations even say the fact that you're a being that has never existed before, because that's exactly what happened. Ed Gibson, who lived like hell, is dead. That person no longer exists. Inside of this body is a different guy. Do you know why you live like the past? It's because you trained yourself to do it. You won't forget the past. You just keep talking about that old dead guy you were. Any man being Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. I'm not the dead guy anymore. You're not the dead guy anymore. Let's get this junk out now. Let's deal with this stuff. Most Christians believe they're just a cleaned up sinner. And that's one of the biggest lies that the devil put in the church. The old man is dead. That guy who lived like hell for 30 years, he disappeared that day. He has been removed as far as the east is from the west, and there's a new guy on the inside. It's a new one. He has the nature of God. Washing a sin. Look, the Jews had forgiveness of sin. Did it change their lives? No, they still lived like hell, couldn't get it right. But see, your problem is mostly the fact is what you believe. Most Christians don't believe the truth. They've been taught lies about themselves. They've taught about, you're just a cleaned up sinner, you know. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm not an old sinner. I was an old sinner. And when I got saved by grace, I became a new creation. I'm a new creation. I'm not the same. You know, I learned that from Kenneth Hagin, because when Kenneth Hagin got born again, I listened to his tape when I first got saved, and he used to do that. All the people would come to him all the time and talk about, what's changed about you? And the first thing he would say out of his mouth, he was 17 years old, he'd say, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's what I am. See, most Christians don't view themselves in that manner. No. Most of you can sit down and tell you the details of your sinful life. There's a lot of my life I can't even hardly remember. You know, there's a lot about me, like I look back at Vietnam, it's almost a blank to me, a lot of areas of it. Well, number one, I have no need to go back and remember to begin with, so. People love to drag their past up. They love it. They love to bring up the dirt. And, well, what a low life they were. Well, you're not a low life anymore. That guy's dead. You know, you need to take it out of the cemetery and put his tombstone up or something and say, man, that sucker's dead, you know, and go out there and visit it every once in a while and say, you know, he's still dead. He's still dead. He's still there. He ain't coming back. He ain't coming back. He's not coming back. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Don't belittle the glory that's in you. Religion will keep you in the place of death. That's what religion does. It'll always keep you over living in the death place. Religion is based on crosses. Oh, we got to wear them, you know. The Bible says the cross is the place of sin and shame. So we wear sin and shame. And we have them dipped in gold, and then they become wonderful, you know. We have put a little diamond on it, then it really becomes a treasure. Come on, people. See, you touch into people's religious stuff and they get nervous. It just, you know. My words. You know, the Bible says, know no man after the flesh. You know, most Christians only know Jesus after the flesh. They know the Jesus that walked the earth, but they don't know the glorious one that sits at the right hand of God and you sit with him. My Jesus ain't some flesh guy. My Jesus sits. He's the glorious living Lord of heaven and earth. He's in authority over all things in the heavens, on earth, and under the earth. Hallelujah. And I'm sitting with him, and so are you. Take your place, folks. Take your place of glory that was handed to you. Take that place of glory. That same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Life to the mortal body. See, the Holy Ghost is in you for the purpose of subduing this outer man so he don't dominate and rule. It's not just about health. It's about you being able to live a godly life. Anybody believes you're just going to sin, they don't believe the Holy Ghost is in them. He ain't doing nothing. Why would he be in them? You know, it's like Kenneth Hagin. I remember years ago, he said, most Christians don't think he's just a hitchhiker. You know, he's just down there hitchhiking a ride in you. And he ain't doing nothing. His purpose in you is to bring this body under submission to the glory of God. That's what he's there for. Hallelujah. You see, healing's part of the glory of God. He's in. The Holy Ghost is in you to keep this body in shape, to keep this house in an operating system while you do the will of God down here. Not for it to dominate you so you're sick all the time and he's taking your money and your time to turn around and you know, keep the doctor's, you know, wallet full and you can't do the will of God. I mean, just think about what we'd have in America. You turn everybody today in America, if everybody was instantly healed, and we would be healed in this nation for 1 month, for 1 year, just nobody be sick. Can you imagine the money we'd have? God put the Holy Ghost in. The church's supposed to be the healthiest group in the bunch. And we're one of the top six of the bunch. And the devil's sold to it. We have life in us, but we haven't walked in the knowledge of the life in us. We haven't walked in the knowledge of that. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in you to quicken you and keep you alive, to keep your body under submission so it doesn't get over in and follow sin so the devil can attack you. Its whole purpose is to keep you well, keep you a sound mind, keeping you whole. He's in there. That should become such a reality. You want that in you that you believe that and don't doubt it. That you don't have a doubt that God wants to bless you or help you or God's not trying to, you know, God's holding back. God's not holding back. He's not doing that. Just that God gave us the Holy Ghost for this specific purpose. It's in us. He's in there. That's why he's there. That's his purpose. He's not there to scold you. Your own conscience bothers you when you don't do right. He don't have to. Your own human spirit will say, knock it off, dummy. He don't have to tell you. Your own conscience bothers you. Why? Because your spirit is created in the likeness of God. And when your flesh gets out of line, your human spirit don't like it. It's just like your house. If the roof started leaking and you're on the inside of it, would you like it? No! Well, your human spirit is in there in this house, and this house starts leaking and doing dumb stuff. It speaks against it because that's not supposed to happen. It's not supposed to happen. See, we got to get this in our thinking. Sickness is not normal with God. It's not the norm. We've accepted it as the norm. We take it as, this is the norm, you know. You're just in this world. You're going to have problems. You're going to, you know. It's like, you know, I haven't had the flu since 1980. Why? Because I don't believe it's the norm for Ed to have it. You know, I went to the hospital and they said, you know, you didn't have a flu shot, did you? I said, yes, I did. And I didn't lie. I took my flu shots. I didn't lie to the doctor. I got my flu shots. I done took that years ago and I take it all the time. My God, I took more flu shots than he ever had. Dear Lord, I just don't have them stick me with needles. Glory to God, I just take the word of God. That's my flu shot. I believe what the Bible says. Now, it's worked all these years. Do you think God wants it to quit? Well, you just don't. There are strains of flu out there. That, oh my goodness, that we ain't had yet. Oh, I know the word's weak then because there's a scary flu out there. I'm going to tell you so you know the word can't uphold of that. But see, people get into fear. I don't allow fear to come in flu season. Hallelujah. I just say, devil, come on. You want to play this game? I've played this game. I've whooped you at it all these years. You're going to get another licking. It's just the way it is. Hallelujah. Praise God. That spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. He is to quicken. Now, the last time I checked, my body's mortal. My body is mortal. The last time I checked. So it's what? That power of the Holy Spirit in me was given by God to make alive this mortal body. In other words, the frailty of this mortal is not supposed to dominate. I'll tell you something the Holy Ghost said to me this past week. The Spirit of the Lord talked about me because I had been praying about Kenneth Hagin talking about when he prophesied. In other words, the Spirit of God spoke to him and talked about in these last days about the age to come, about manifestations concerning the age to come happening in there. And I spoke to the Lord about that. I'd been praying and asked him about those things, what those things are concerning the life to come. And this is what the Lord said. Right before Jesus comes, he said, there'll be Christians who will walk as immortals in this earth before Jesus returns. Now you might think, could that be possible? Surely it's possible by the Spirit that lives in us. It's not by the possible of anything natural. That people will walk by faith and their mortal bodies will be acting as immortal bodies by the Spirit that lives in us. Well, that'll hair-lip the doctors and most Christians. They won't know what to think about that. Hallelujah. I want you to tell them, there are people who stepped into that somewhat. John G. Lake did. John G. Lake, they literally did this to him. They took the froth that was on a dying person's mouth that had bubonic plague and they put it on his hand and they looked at it under the microscope and when they put it on his hand, it died when it touched him. The bacteria all died when it touched his body. You see, we think we're so bright spiritually. There's things that people have walked in times past. We ain't got it. Romans 8:10, there's revelation concerning that the church has not even got. We're just trying to get just people to believe the Holy Ghost is in them. The revelation of that is way far beyond, way far beyond. John G. Lake took doctors and they put people under an x-ray, put a guy in an x-ray machine. He had a broken leg and there was gangrene set into it. And John G. Lake got six doctors, took him in and had him there together and he said, you guys watch this. And they watched under the machine while the man was under it. They could see his leg. They could see the bone that was broken. They could see how messed up it was. And John G. Lake said, you just watch it. When I touch his leg, watch what happens. And he touched the man's leg. They watched as the leg was healed. All the gangrene went away. Everything in the bone was welded together just as if it had never been broken. See, we talk about believing God for miracles. We know very little about that. We have our nice little clean religious things in our thinking, and we say these things. But there's places to go and miraculous that to walk in, folks. It's way out beyond, and that's why we can't stay where we are spiritually. We can't stay at this place. Why? Because we'll be limiting God on what He can do. We want this. We want a great revival to come as God to do far beyond what we could ever believe. Why wouldn't we want to jack our faith up a little bit? Why wouldn't we want to do that? But see, the church just seems to want to wait to God. God, override our unbelief and do great things. I'm at the place right now, God, build my faith. Dear Lord, I want to be able to walk in things that are not natural, that are not normal. I want to walk outside the normal. I want to walk outside of doctors and hospitals. We have very little faith in the church to ever even go to that place. And we talk about how miraculous God. Let's be honest, people. That isn't where people can believe. We aren't there. I sit down, I could get you guys tapes, and you could sit down and, they used to be tapes, but they're years ago taught. I have them on MP3 now. They talk about things concerning healing and that stuff that it'd scare you. But they walked in levels of faith we just have no clue about. We're so tied to the natural. They really did believe in miracles. They do things that would scare people today to do. And so we got to, I'm not saying this criticism. It's we need to open ourselves up that there's a place to go. There's a Holy Ghost inside to us to teach them. These people didn't go there because they were geniuses. They went there listening to the Holy Ghost inside of them. That's how they got there. The Holy Spirit's the teacher. Look what the scripture says. And see, this is what we need to come to where we believe these things, concerning the Holy Spirit. Now, concerning our own human spirit, I just want to read to you though. In Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward depths of the heart. But the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. God enlightens us through our spirit. That's what He does. That's where He's going to enlighten us. Now, we have the Spirit in us, but we need to understand these. Here's scriptures. We know these things. We've heard these scriptures. But we need revelation where this stuff becomes real to us inside, that we will begin to say these things and begin to act like they're true. Now, just in John the 15th chapter in verse 26. Now, you've heard this. This is Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, what is He called? The Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father, what will He do? He will testify of Me. Now, you need to understand this. You cannot know Jesus Christ except through the Holy Ghost. He's the one who makes Jesus Christ alive and real. He is. The Word itself don't do that. You need the Word. But He's saying to you there, the work of the Holy Spirit, He makes Jesus something that's alive and real. He testifies of Jesus. To know the Holy Spirit, He's not something that's going to be blowing your horn or somebody else's horn. He blows the horn of Jesus Christ. He makes Jesus the big deal. We know we have a great problem in the church world today because Jesus is no longer a big deal in the church anymore. So I know people don't listen to the Holy Ghost because the Holy Spirit will magnify Jesus. It's one of the things that I like the songs like we sing today off of these things because they sing about Jesus. They magnify Jesus. We don't have much of that in church. Most worship, it's all God stuff. Dear Lord, the Muslims could sing the songs we sing today. It's just about, God, 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 God. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. There ain't nothing done in this earth. God don't even answer a prayer if it isn't through faith in the name of Jesus. See, we keep limiting. We need to bring those things back to the forefront. So the Holy Spirit, this is something understanding about. If you want to know Jesus Christ, you must come in contact with the Holy Spirit. You can learn to check in yourself. If something isn't glorifying Jesus Christ, that's why, you guys heard me tell the story about the meeting that I was in, the woman had oil pouring out of her hands. That was the reason why I knew that wasn't God. It wasn't glorifying Jesus. It was glorifying her. She became the center focus of that meeting. I wasn't God. Wasn't God. Jesus wasn't being glorified. Manifestations and gifts of the Holy Ghost glorified Jesus Christ. You know, they got this stuff now. Just had a thing, a person, you know, they think they had this great thing and these prophets prophesied to them. So I went, you know, and they sent me the things about the prophecies that were said to them. There wasn't three so-called prophets, and they're not prophets. They're operating under familiar spirits. And they sat and talked and built that person up like they were the next best thing to slice bread. And Jesus Christ was never mentioned. That ain't the Holy Ghost. You have no place in Scripture where prophets ever prophesied and glorified people. It has never happened. God may compliment you and say something to you, but He's always, the Holy Ghost is always going to glorify and magnify Jesus Christ. He's always going to do that. If you don't, these are people sitting in church who claim Christianity, even Rhema graduates, but are following familiar spirits because somebody comes along and says something to them that makes them feel good. Well, I'm sorry, the Holy Ghost don't always make Ed feel good. A lot of times He does, but a lot of times He says, oh man, Ed messed up. See, we don't have that. I know for sure. I look at all the prophecies that were said in the Old Testament. Did it butter everybody up? They didn't. Let's face it, folks, we ain't that great. We got born again. We're children of God. We have the glory of God in us. But we ain't reached the level of Jesus yet. Have we? So let's, you know, we need to get over. Because see, today, see, the familiar spirit things are entering in. I see a lot of this in the church world. There's ministers get over there and sometimes they're operating under gifts of spirit. Next thing you know, they're operating under familiar spirits. They don't even know and listen. See, you got to learn to know the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is interested concerning Jesus. Now, one of the things, He's called the Spirit of Truth. Now, this is one thing is in John 17:17, Jesus was praying for the disciples. He was praying for them, and it was also praying for the church that would come. But He made this statement in verse 17 of chapter 17. He said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. The Holy Spirit is always going to move in line with the word. Always. This is why you must learn to know the Word of God. No better than you learn the Word of God that the Holy Spirit's going to be able to talk to you about things and show you things. You need to learn the Word of God. It's important because the Word and the Spirit go together. The power of God, the Word and Spirit, there's nothing more powerful. The Word itself without the Spirit, and you get over, here's what, you know, the Word without the Spirit, you'll become a legalist. And the Spirit without the Word, you're going to become a fanatic. See, what holds you is the fact the Holy Ghost takes the Word and He reveals the Word to you. So you could, that's your verification. How can you know the voice that's talking to you or the voice that's revealing something to you? Is it God or not? People say, well, I don't know if it's the Lord or not. Well, what are you measured against? The Holy Spirit always does it. The Holy Spirit will speak to me about something and then there's always things come up in me about certain scriptures. Well, a certain scripture says this or a certain scripture says that. Why? He's always verifying things by the Word. He brings the Word. That's how you know. How do you know? See, the Bible says in the New Testament, the Spirit said there's many voices and none without significance. How do I measure the voice? You have to go by the Word. See, if you're not a student of the Word, you're always going to have trouble. You know, Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15. He said, be diligent. Now, King James says, study to show yourself approved. Actually, that word isn't study, but it says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. If the Word can be rightly divided, it can be wrongly divided. It says, workman, what? That you're not going to be ashamed. If you don't develop in the Word, you're going to be ashamed. Because things are going to come along and you're going to say you're trusting God. It ain't going to work. You want to be in line with the Word. Faith in the Word works. He says, be diligent. So He didn't say, you know, you know, Timothy, you be diligent, and the rest of them, you know, go on a picnic. You know, we got to be diligent concerning the Word of God. We got to be diligent in this area to develop getting the Word in you. It isn't how much revelation you have. It's what revelation you can live. See, many people today are trying to get more revelation when they don't live what they have. God would rather have you live out two scriptures than know 400 of them and don't really live much of any. Get it into you. See, I learned that as a young Christian, getting things, principles into me till I could walk them out and do them, till you can live them. That's where you want to come, to where you can live them. Well, what's the point of having this, having revelation and you can't get it to produce? To me, that's total frustration. You know, it's like knowing healing's there and you can never get it. Is there anything more frustrating than that? Because it's terrible. You get people get over it, then they build a lie. They won't want to admit it ain't going to work, so they start making fantasies up to why it's not working. God has a purpose in it. See, God has a purpose, and sometimes, see, he's trying to humble me, or he's trying to work something out in my life. No, it's you and the devil have been working together on your pride. You've been following your pride instead of the Word and saying, you know what, I messed up. I missed it somewhere. No, I didn't miss it. See, we got to get in line. Get in line. That's why you want to follow where the Holy Ghost will always lead you in line with the Word. So you always want to get to know what the Word. Now listen, John 16th chapter, the Holy Spirit. Now he's the Spirit of truth. He testifies of Jesus. Now in John 16 verse 13 says this, starts off, says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of the truth, has come, when he's come, what is he going to do? He will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit will never guide you to anything but what's true. Well, we found that the Word's truth, so he's going to. What I love about this, now listen to what he says. He will guide you into, does it say some truth? He might give you a little bit. He said he'll give you all truth. As much truth as you want to have, you can have. The Holy Spirit is designed and put in you for the specific purpose. As ever, how much truth you want, you can have it. He's not limiting the amount of truth that you can receive. See, some people say, well, there's things just God don't want you to know. There's things that might be none of your business. It's about somebody else. But concerning truth of the Word, you can learn anything you want to learn. You know, God's not a gossip. Neither are the Holy Ghost. He's not going to do that. Now, he's the Spirit of truth. He'll guide you in all the truth. Why? For he will not speak on his own authority. This is one thing that you have to learn about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never magnify himself or make a big deal about himself being in you. He'll never do that. He only magnifies one. He said, he doesn't speak under his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Whatever he hears, the Holy, who's he listening to? Jesus. Why? Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. He's listening to what Jesus has said and is saying, and he's taking that and he's revealing it to you. That's what he does. See, when a person deals with a problem, well, you know, some people can know more than others. That's the lie from hell. The Holy Spirit's in you. I don't have the opportunity to know more about the Bible than you do. I don't care if I got a teaching gift. You can know as much as you want. However, you want to yield the Holy Ghost and believe what the Bible says about it. You can believe it. You're limited, and you will be limited. You can believe that. Go ahead and say it. Tell it to people. Well, you know. Oh, the pastor, see, he can do that, but, you know, everybody else don't get to do that, you know. Well, if you believe that, that's what you're going to have. You're going to have whatever you believe and say. See, you need to take these scriptures and sit down. See, I've become convinced a long time ago that the Holy Ghost is the best buddy I got. There's one inside of me, and he wants me to know things, and he teaches me constantly. I never read the Word that I don't get stuff from it. It don't ever happen. When I want to know things, he reveals stuff to me. See, I won't say any different about it. I don't care if it looks like God ain't talked to me for a week. You will never get me to say it because he's talked. I may have not heard, but he's done talked. You see, we go blab mouth as if like, well, God didn't say nothing to me. Oh, it couldn't be that I was an idiot and couldn't hear. That would never happen. You know, I'm such a rocket scientist. And then we go lie on God to people and we wonder why God don't talk to us. I'm going to tell you, you can't talk bad of the Holy Ghost and he's going to be your buddy. You can't go around and lie about him. I'll tell you, I found out when I turned around and started really learning about this stuff, I found out he talked a whole lot more than I realized that he talked. Hallelujah. He was revealing things to me. I was missing a lot. But you get over, get to yourself. He speaks. He takes what belongs to Jesus. He shows it to me. He says what? He will tell you things to come. You should expect concerning your life, knowing things that are up ahead. That should be the norm. That should be normal. Here it says, the Holy Spirit is in you. This is one of the purposes that He's in you, is to show you things to come. Folks, and you need to get over in believing this stuff, because it's important to be able to know things that are ahead. You can't prepare for what you don't know is ahead. He'll show you about things that are coming up so you can be ready. You know, there's things even concerning people. I've known ahead of time people were going to die a long time off. Sometimes it's good to know those things. You know, when Wanda's dad died, I knew ahead. And the Lord spoke to me about it. I knew he was going to die. When he died, that wasn't no surprise to me because I knew it was coming. He talked to me about those things. I've had it numbers of times that I knew things. And I know today there are certain people going to die that I know that they're going to die. And I know ahead of time out they're going to go. I even know what they're going to die from. I know it's going to happen. Showing you things out. Sometimes he shows you those things for your benefit, you know, preparation sometimes with things, doing things and getting ready for stuff. This is what Jesus said. Listen to what Jesus said the Holy Ghost will do. Listen, verse 14 of John 16, he said, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. See, the Holy Ghost will always glorify Jesus. He'll always magnify Jesus. See, you need to understand these things, because when voices are speaking and people are saying, who does it glorify? What does it do? The Holy Ghost ain't making men a big deal. Jesus is the big deal. Jesus is the big deal. Listen what Jesus said then. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. In other words, everything that the Father God has belongs to Jesus. And Jesus said, I'll show you a little bit. He didn't say that, did he? He will take of mine. He'll declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. I'm going to take it. See, in other words, God is never hiding from the church. He's never hiding truth. He's never hiding what's going on. He doesn't have some people he wants to know a little bit, another guy wants to know more. That's not happening. That is not happening. See, you got to get these truths in you. If you want to learn to be led by the Spirit, you got to believe that this is the way that He's working in you, and you got to start talking like that. See, I don't care if you believe this is true. If you don't ever say this kind of stuff, it ain't ever going to happen. You got to say it. Faith is saying it. See, I say things like, praise God, the Holy Spirit speaks to me. He guides me into all the truth. That's what He does. I tell you, He reveals things to me. That's what He does. I know things to come because the Holy Ghost shows it to me. That's His job. Any times when I pray, I go to the Lord and say, Father, I just want to thank you for giving me the Holy Ghost. I just really appreciate you giving Him, because He takes everything that you have, and He's going to do that. He's going to show me exactly what I need. That's what He's going to do for me. I say those things in prayer all the time. Why? I say them out. I don't say them for God's benefit. I say them for my benefit. See, God, I'm telling you what I believe. I believe He's going to do that. I'm believing the Holy Ghost. See, you got to go over. If you don't declare it, you ain't ever going to see it. I don't care what you believe about the Bible says. It don't matter. You're going to have what you declare and act like it's true. You got to say these things. I mean, I talk to the Holy Ghost, and I tell Him, I appreciate you. Holy Ghost, I know what you're going to do. You're going to take what belongs to Jesus. I need to know some stuff, and you're going to take what belongs to Jesus and show it to me. You know what? He's excited when you do that. My God, there's somebody here believes I'm going to do something. See, loads of Christians sit around and believe a lot of the right things, but they don't ever say the right things. They don't ever talk it. You got to say it. You start to declare the Holy Ghost. What the Bible says, you'll do this. Holy Spirit, you're going to do that for me. Oh, no, we don't. Well, I'm just trusting the Lord. What are you trusting for? Trust is distinctive of something. In other words, it has something specific that it's believing, or it is not trust. You didn't get saved saying, I trust the Lord. If you didn't, how do you trust Him? Well, you had to declare Jesus as Lord and believe God raised Him from the dead. If you didn't do that, I don't care what you said you were trusting the Lord. You ain't saved. You got saved by a declaration. See, somehow we've gotten away from this, you know. We've gotten away. And it's so simple. See, this is what people say, you know, if you talk to yourself, you're crazy. I want to tell you this. If you don't, you're a real idiot. You learn to talk to yourself, you know. Like Wanda said this morning, she's in the bedroom. She got, I could hear you out there, you know, singing and talking and stuff. That's right. I'm out there. I'm insane. Let me alone. I'm living and not dying. So let the boy alone. Call me crazy. Yeah, well, go ahead. We'll do your funeral. It's good preaching, folks. I'm a talking. Glory to God. Say, who you talking? You talking to yourself? Talking to myself. God's living inside of me. Dear Lord, talking to myself? See, I believe He lives in me. I'm insane. I talk to somebody you can't see. And it ain't a rabbit. You know, remember that old movie? maybe some of you don't remember that. Henry Fonda played. A rabbit would talk to him, see, and he'd see the rabbit, nobody else would. Hallelujah. Well, see, I see the Holy Ghost. And Him and I talk. I talk to Him out of my voice loud. He talks to me out of His Spirit. It's not an audible voice to hear with the ear. But I talk. My job is to talk to Him with an audible voice. There's no such thing as thinking prayer. There is no such thing as thinking prayer. There are no such thing. No Bible doesn't have thinking prayer. Prayer is speaking. Look up what the word means. It is speaking words from your mouth. You know what thinking prayer is? It's dumb. It don't produce. It's dumb. You know, it's like speaking in tongues. You can't think in tongues. You speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Well, this is good stuff. See, we'll get over a little bit of the Spirit. The big thing that God wants you to get a hold of today, He wants you conscious of the Holy Ghost in you, where that becomes so real to you. That becomes so real to you. I'm going to, that no matter where you go, what you're doing, you're conscious of the fact the Holy Ghost is in you. Not because you feel something. You get in your spirit that this is true, you'll just know it. You'll just know it. The Holy Ghost inside of you. He bears witness with our spirit. The Bible says this. See, the Bible says that Jesus, that the Holy Spirit bears witness of my spirit that I'm a son of God. I'm not a son of God anymore because the Word says that I'm a son of God because now the Holy Ghost is in me. When I believed on Him, the Holy Ghost moved in. And now I believe because He bears witness to me. I know I'm saved. John said and wrote, said, we know we pass from death unto life because we love the brother. He didn't say, you know, we're believing we're saved. He said, we know we're saved. I know I'm saved. Why? The Holy Ghost is in there bearing witness to me. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven because there's one who lives in me that tells me I am. He's bearing witness in me. I'm a child of God. See, everything on the outside can look like it's going wrong, but it's what's on the inside will sustain you. What's in the inside? Well, my body's yelling on the outside. What sustained me is what's on the inside, not what's on the outside. What's on the outside didn't sustain me at all. It's what's on the inside will sustain you. That'll hold you. When things are tough, that's what holds you. It's the witness of the Spirit inside of you. Inside I knew, I'm hooked up with God. God ain't doing nothing out here without telling me. He's not stinking up on me with sickness and disease trying to do something. He's inside of me working night and day to protect me. That's what he does. He's working night and day. You know, it's like there was a woman in the Second World War. There was a story they told in England. They would bomb the city of London was being bombed all the time. And so at night when it was being bombed by the Germans, that people would go down to the air raid shelters. They would go underground the air raid shelters till it was clear, and then they would go back up. And there's some folks, you know, they all come down and they would all, you know, sort of looked up, make sure everybody was in and who are they all knew each other and stuff. And there was this one woman that didn't come down to one night, and they just, you know, everybody got wondering where, you know, she was. And they were wondering if she got killed in the bombing. And the next night she didn't come down. There was bombing. And the nights that there was bombing out, she no longer came down. And they just thought, well, maybe because some what people would do, they would move out to the country area and that stuff, because they weren't bombing in the country areas. They were just bombing the cities. So they thought, well, maybe she moved out. And they thought, well, maybe she died. But nobody heard anything. And one day, a woman on the street, she ran into this lady and saw her and said, "Where have you been?" He said, "Did you go in the country and come back or anything?" She said, "No, no." She said, "I'm at home." She said, "I still live at the same place." She said, "You do?" She said, "Well, you don't come down the shelter anymore in the bombing. What's going on?" She said, "Well, I read in the Bible one night it said God doesn't sleep nor slumber." And she said, "I thought, well, why do I stand up all night?" And she said, "If he's awake, no use me staying up too." Oh, and then they'd line up 47 preachers to tell you, "You need to use wisdom, lady. You need to have wisdom. God's big, but he ain't that big." But see, she read the Bible and found out she believed what was in the Bible was true. Can you imagine? You see, you need a revelation. You need a revelation concerning the Holy Spirit to become so real that he's in you, that God lives in you. You're not trying to reach God. God done reached you. See, that changed my prayer life. When I come to the place to believe the Holy Ghost was in me, my prayer life changed completely. I was never trying to reach God again. I don't ever try to reach God. I don't ever try to reach God. How far would I have to go? He done moved in. He's inside. I'm not trying to, I don't have to scream loud. I don't have to, you know. He hears me the first time I say something. He's right there. The first time I say something, he's there. I mean, just think about Daniel in the old covenant. The angel appeared to him and said, "You know, the first time you prayed, we heard you." First time, he didn't go, "Well, when you prayed a long time, we finally listened after you fasted a long time. Then we started listening." You know, then heaven was... Well, if they did that with a guy who didn't have the Holy Ghost in him, what about us, folks? See, you got to come to that place where you just see God just responding to you, because that's exactly what he wants to do. He wants to respond to you quickly. He don't want you going through all this religious nonsense. I hear these people talking about getting in the presence of God. Sometimes I don't know what they mean. There's some things that I understand what they're trying to say. But the presence of God lives in me. Is the Holy Ghost in me? Is he in you? We're trying to get to the presence of God. I mean, how close can you get? If he moved in my house, I'd have thought that was cool. But he went and come and moved right in and united with my human spirit, the real me, and lives in this dumb house that I'm stuck in. He likes me so much, he moved in this dumb thing. Yours is too, so. See, we need this revelation to come to us. See, I believe that is really the major key about being led by the Spirit of God. You can teach on all the other stuff you want, and it's good, but we got to come to the place God's in us. He's in you, and he likes you. You think he moved in and said, "Oh, they're a jerk. I don't want to be here." He moved in. You know, in our flesh, we might be the jerk, but you're born again, a child of God. You have the nature of God. He loves living where the nature of God is. He loves it. And he's in you. And his whole job is whatever you need to know, whatever you need to understand, God put him in there to show you. He's in there for that purpose.
Isn't that wonderful? It stops a lot of searching, you know? You sit down and say, you know, I'm going to read the Word today, Holy Ghost. I got the teacher in me. You know, thank God for putting teaching gifts in the church. But I'll tell you what revolutionized my life when I found out the teacher's just in Ed. Hallelujah. That he will teach me just like he would teach the teacher to teach. Hallelujah. You can take a running spell on that one. I mean, that's God in you. Isn't that wonderful? That's what's inside of you. Let's quit searching for God. Let's quit looking. Let's start living like he's in us. Meditate on those things. Sit down and say the things that are in those scriptures. This is what the Holy Ghost does for me. This is what he's doing inside of me. Because it's the truth. That's what he does. That's what he's there for the purpose. From the baby Christian to the mature Christian, it never changes. He's there for that purpose. He don't become a different God to somebody else. He's the same for everyone on the inside. He's the same one to reveal. He'll take anything that Jesus knows to reveal it to you. What do you want to know? See, I've found out over the years many times I didn't know things because I never specifically asked. I never specifically stopped and asked. It's like the last Sunday when I came to church and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me about something he had revealed to me back over 20 years ago concerning ministering healing. And he said something to me, but I just took the thing that he said, but I never really discussed it with him past that point. And on the way to church, he showed me something that if I'd asked him revelation-wise would change the way I ministered healing. But I had never stopped and asked him. You see, you need to learn to know this about how Holy Spirit works. He don't intrude on you. You don't ask him. You know, he'll stay silent. He's a gentleman. He never forces himself. He's not going to force revelation on you. I don't care how much you need it. I don't care how much you need it. You seek and you'll find. If you don't seek, you ain't going to find. He don't force knowledge on people. He never does. And I realized, I never asked. I apologized to him. I said, man, I blew that one. I said, I should have known better. And to talk to you about that after you said that to me, I should have known better. But all that time, he never said nothing till I was coming here to church and I was listening to a Kenneth Hagin teaching on an area of healing, and he just made a certain statement about ministering concerning faith. And when he did, it came over to me concerning that, and I said something to him. And instantly he told me. See, I could have been instantly told that years ago. See, we don't know that. We have a lot of false doctrine in us about how God operates and works. We act like if he just wants you to know it, you're going to know it. No, he don't. That's not the way it works. That's not the way. When I was a child, as a Christian and starting off, there's a lot of things he showed me in spite of me. But we do the same thing with children, our own children. We do things to them. But they come to a point, you expect things out of people. And I realize I'm at the point. He expects things. He expects me to ask. He expects me to know. If I want to know, I'm supposed to come. Do you realize Jesus spoke in parables, and it says this concerning teaching people in his time. He didn't speak unless by parable. He didn't talk. And you know what? He explained them to nobody unless they came and asked. All the people out there that heard his parables, the majority of them, never gained any revelation from the Word. The disciples came to him, it says afterwards, they asked him about what did that parable mean? He said, it's for you to know. See, it's only for disciples to know. If you're not a question asker and you don't ask God to explain things to you, you're not a disciple. We got tons of believers, few disciples. You got to ask God. You got to go to God and say, God, what do you mean by this? I do a lot of that anymore. I see things and I know when I see it, I understand it in part, but I don't understand it the whole way. And I'll go to God and say, now look, what about this? You said this. There's something I'm missing from here. I just can tell it. I can tell. There's something. I have a piece of revelation. It's good, but somehow I know I don't see the whole thing. Somehow I know. See, I've been over here talking to him and he's been showing me bits about Romans 8. Verse 11,
Because I can see that there's things about that verse that I don't have. But I know there's revelation concerning that scripture that I need to get to see the whole picture. I see certain parts that have been blessed me in my Christian walk, that they've been wonderful to me, but I can see there's something I don't know. I look over at ministers and people in the past and I think, they had things that we don't have. They knew things. And I know one thing, that scripture has something to do with what they knew. That scripture has something to do, and I want to know what it is. Because I want to walk there. I want to take other people. I want to find out what it is so I can take somebody else there too. See, once I know what it is, then you can take other people there. But we got to find out what it is first. And we find out what it is, we'll take people along with us. Hallelujah. So we're going after it. And me, there's things that I'm just after. And I'll tell you what, I'm asking more questions today than I ever asked in my life. There's things I want to know. There's things that I know that I see in part, but I need to know, and I need to know the mind of the Spirit. I need to know what the Holy Ghost is saying. I need to know. Well, I find it. And another thing I learned was you have to ask the right questions. Don't just throw questions out at God just, you know, frivolously. Sit down and think out your question that you want to ask Him. You know, think about it. What you want to ask? What's important? What do you really need to know? I found out that as I've matured, that I had to do that. That if I asked a dumb question, I didn't get an answer. Hallelujah. I learned that from Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin, who he had quite a few experiences where Jesus appeared to him. And he said, it's amazing. And one thing, he said, when you think naturally, you think all these questions you want to ask Jesus. But he said, when you get over in the Spirit, he said, they ain't the things you ask at all. He said, because when you get over in the Spirit, you see what's important. Most things you want to know from God naturally don't mean a hill of beans. That's why you want to get over in the Spirit. You want to come conscious on the inside. And inside, you're going to know what you need to be pushing for, what you need to do. You're going to know that. And that's what God wants. See, He wants you to meet Him on His level. He wants you to meet Him on the level of the flesh. Not approach Him on the level of the flesh. He wants you to approach Him on the level of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And He'll show you anything. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for being so patient with us. Oh, Lord God. But Lord God, I am excited about you because you never quit on us. Lord, you have me teaching these things and talking these things because Lord God, Lord, you're not saying, well, boy, you guys missed it. And you no, you want to take us further. You want to, you're always, always, Lord God, wanting to take us farther. Always wanting to reveal things to us. Lord, and I believe there's a deepness of hunger. Lord God, there's a deepness of hunger, Lord God, in this day and time. And Lord God, we didn't get it because we're so spiritual. Lord God, it's the drawing of your Spirit. Lord, deep draws to deep. Hallelujah. And Lord God, Lord, you're drawing us to deep. Lord God, to more than what we've had, an understanding far beyond what we've understood. And Lord God, I want to thank you because the great Holy Spirit can take us there. Lord God, in our minds, oh Lord, we think, oh Lord, Lord, what's it going to take for us to do this? But Lord God, the Holy Ghost, He can take us there. He can reveal these things to us. He can show us and take this, Lord God. Lord, I want to thank you because these things are not outside of our reach. They are within our reach because if they weren't, you wouldn't be showing us. They're within our reach. And so, Lord God, we take what faith that we have right now. Right now, what we have in us, we reach out. With what's already in us, we reach out right now, Lord God. Lord, we are so thankful, Jesus, for you giving us the Holy Spirit. I am so thankful, Lord God. Lord, there's nothing greater than we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And Lord Jesus, I want to thank you. He's doing the work that you said He would do for us. I thank you, Lord God, that he's taking what belongs to you and he's showing it to us. Jesus, if anything we want is we want you to be real in the earth. We want you to be manifested. We want you to show yourself forth in your glory. Lord Jesus, without you, there is no salvation of man. There's no deliverance of man without you. Lord God, you're the name above every name. It's through you that these things take place. Jesus, again, we want to bring your glory back to the church. That you again become the head of the church. Holy Spirit, direct us, correct us, whatever you have to do, that Jesus Christ will be magnified and glorified. Lord, you know it's the desire of our hearts that he be magnified in us. We want Jesus glorified. We want when people see, they say, there is the God of heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ living and working in them. Lord, we want that. We want the glory, Lord God, of the ministry of Jesus Christ revealed in the earth. Not the ministry of men, but the ministry of Jesus Christ shown forth in these days and time. Lord, that we would be what John the Baptist says. Lord God, we would become less and you'd become more. Hallelujah. Lord God, less of us, more of you. Hallelujah. That's our desire and you know it. Lord God, oh, we want Jesus magnified. And we want to thank you, Holy Spirit. You're the great teacher. The great teacher of the church. You have been put in us for that express purpose. And I want to thank you that Holy Spirit, you will fulfill that job in us to teach us and guide us into the truth. You will show us things to come. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you. The Holy Spirit is working mighty today. He's working mighty in each one of us today, bringing revelation, understanding to us, to our hearts and our minds. Hallelujah. Quickening our bodies. Lord God, Lord, we're tired. Part of our bodies dominating. They have dominated too much. And Lord God, I want to thank you for the quickening power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Subduing this body in the name of Jesus. Quickening and making it alive towards you, Lord God. Lord God, that the works and the actions of the flesh are suppressed in the name of Jesus by the power and of the Word and the Spirit in Jesus' name. Lord God, that we walk worthy of you to Lord in all pleasing. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Lord God, we expect mighty and wonderful things to take place. Lord God, we expect in this day and time, Lord, I declare it's going to become normal among us to hear the voice of the Spirit in us, to hear that still small voice speaking to us, that we will know it. Jesus, you said, my sheep know my voice. Hallelujah. And you said they don't follow some other. So we're not following some other. We know your voice. Lord Jesus, I don't care how it seems or whatever. You said we know your voice. You cannot lie, Jesus. Hallelujah. So it is. We know your voice. I will not say anything any different. I'm going to speak after you, Jesus. We know your voice. You're the good shepherd. Hallelujah. You're the gate to the sheepfold. We're protected. Hallelujah. We're looked after. We're nourished. We're built up. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, you're the one that leads us in and out. Our flesh is not what leads us in and out, but you lead us in and out by the power of the Holy Spirit in your name. And we thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. You're such a wonderful Lord. You're such a glorious Lord. Thank you so much for caring so much for us and giving us the Holy Spirit. It would have been nice if we would have just been born again. That would have been good. Oh, but you took a giant step beyond, an enormous giant step beyond, and said, Father, send him the Holy Spirit. And God moved in. God moved inside of us. Hallelujah. We're temples of God. We're the house of God. Oh, wow. How wonderful. How wonderful and glorious is that? How marvelous is that? Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, all of these houses of God here. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost living in them. Oh, glory to God. I just thank you so much. I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, I thank you, Lord God, for the mind of Christ. Oh, Lord God, I want to thank you that the mind of Christ lives in us. It's the Holy Ghost. He knows all about Jesus, and he's living in us. Oh, Lord God, that's why you said we have the mind of Christ. We're not trying to get it. Hallelujah, we have it. We have it. We have it in us. Hallelujah, thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Everything we need to know and understand. Oh, hallelujah. Lord God, I want to thank you for the peace that passes all understanding, guarding our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Lord God, hallelujah. It's a working. It's a working. Hallelujah. Lord God, and I thank you for it. I thank you for it. Oh, Father God, I expect enormous things out of this people. Enormous things. Enormous glory revealed through them. Lord God, demonstrations, manifestations of the Holy Ghost. I expect it, Lord God, through them. Lord God, hallelujah. Lord, that Lord, there's the people of this earth need to see a glory. And Lord God, they will see it in them. Hallelujah. And through them, Lord God. Hallelujah. Manifestations of the Holy Ghost. Lord God, I thank in these last days and time. Lord God, Lord, of that glory of the age of the that to come is going to be manifested in them before Jesus comes. Lord God, and they will walk in this earth. Lord God, in these last days of glory, caught up in the Spirit, living and walking as immortals. Hallelujah. In this last day, by the power, the quickening power of the Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know about you. I preach me happy today. Glory to God. More talk about the Holy Ghost. Whew, I'll tell you. It's wonderful. It's wonderful.